Racism, by Guardian Council. Good morning, everyone. I've been thinking about this racist thing of the left. Suppose we all know it's a load of old cobblers, but why? Well, first off, I don't see too many minorities being persecuted for being minorities now in civilized countries. Apart from the Brexit and gammon communities, but they're just evil racists anyway who don't deserve any better, of course. At least, that's what the media bubble would have us believe to keep us in our place as taxpayers. But seriously, I see minorities promoted to qualified stations in life just like everyone else and mainly in line with their abilities. Just when someone can become an American president or a shadowy home secretary because they tick some diversity boxes and not much else, then there'd clearly be something wrong. But there isn't. Obama was the smartest, coolest thing since sliced bread, and Diane Abbott is a fucking genius, though maybe not for her maths. So, racism isn't what it used to be. It's mainly disappeared from society. I'm not saying there isn't the odd oddball thinking all black people are some sort of untermensch, but I don't see much lynching and such roundabouts where I live. And it's fair to assume that neither do lefties see them, although they're known to see things that aren't really there, for example man and woman made climate change, while they don't appear to see things that really are there, for example anti-Semitism in the Labour Party. Because they're running out of stuff to complain about and wind everybody up with, the left have invented institutional, systemic racism. They did this by doing their usual spiel. They played at semantics and came up with a new definition. Racism now is supposed to be any wielding of societal influence by the majority over the minority in white majority countries. Because it only exists there. Aha. Of course, this definition is laughably at odds with any democratic mandate whereby the majority rules. And it says just about enough about the modern left that their new and improved definition of racism is at odds with the main operating principle of democracy. Because face it, the modern left is authoritarian, totalitarian and anti-democratic at heart. But we all knew this too, and anyway, that's not the point now. Because lefties, in all their brazen intellectual laziness and smug moral degeneration, fall into a second trap. They assume only white people can be racist. Obviously, their newfangled mantra looks every bit like the racism of yonder when it was assumed that the Negroes got the rhythm in their blood, re-jazz music, and all that. So even the way their argument is constructed is utterly regressive and at least 100 years past its sell-by date. But it doesn't hold its own water for a second reason too. It's not grounded in empirical reality. For everybody who has ever traveled beyond the narrow confines of lefty imaginings, which strangely seem to coincide with the ill-kept, ill-defined external borders of the EU, for whatever reason, knows there's a world out there where white people are not in fact the majority. So, according to lefty logic, there cannot be racism there, can there? Wrong, because there is. And plenty. The Gulf countries, for instance, are almost exclusively Arab. Following lefty logic, we'd have to assume them to be racism-free. Well, if you were thinking that, you'd have another think coming. Because for all their supposed lack of racism, the Gulf countries import very many plane loads of people from the subcontinent. And they do treat their Gastarbeiter appallingly, almost like they were Untermenschen of German fascism. Indians have no legal rights whatsoever vis-a-vis their Muslim overlords apart from paying taxes, earning a meager wage and living in squalid housing which would be deemed unfit for humans in civilized countries. They're also kept apart at a few miles' length in the desert in what lefties would call apartheid if Israel did this. They're generally despised, regularly abused, frequently attacked and sometimes beaten to death by the oh-so-peaceful people in their adoptive country. Looks like racism to me. Another example would be China. That's a very successful society which, after being freed from the yoke of Marxism, has made singular progress by moving about 500 million people out of abject poverty. Dire living conditions and an early death typical of socialism are no longer the rule in the People's Republic of China. But it isn't all golden either. Just look at the situation in Tibet. I know it's a complex issue, but the way it looks to me, our dear Chinkies do go a bit genocidal whenever Tibetan independence rears its ugly head. Tibetans were clobbered to a pulp in the streets of Lhasa in the 1980s and 90s, mainly for committing the crime of being Tibetan. Then, lefties were outraged. Now, they prefer to forget about it. Because, and now everybody, only white people can be racist. That's what they've learned at Common Purpose Parrot School. These are just two examples, but the list goes on. The Hutu-Tutsi conflict turned into one of the deathliest genocides of modern times. 1 million people dead just because they couldn't stand each other. India is a caste system that operates along many intricate religious and social fault lines. It is meant to keep a ruling caste in power at the expense of 90-95% of their fellow citizens. Of course, they all have the vote in India, and for all its flaws, India is indeed the world's greatest democracy. But what difference does it make for the average Joe? When my dad's family fled from communist East Germany to the former West in the 1950s, they had to make many sacrifices in the new country. And nobody told them they were welcome. Because they weren't. They were just one more family competing with other families for meager resources and a few qualified professions. After running a branch of the old Reichsbank, my dad's dad went back to working as a clerk in the accounting department of an electronics company. Because they came from there, they were discriminated against. But life was still okay for them because at least they didn't have to raise their kids in the GDR, which Mad Merkel's parents fled to. Because the Merkels wanted to become members of the dictatorship of the proletariat, that's the same thing that gives this sugar-coated, wannabe death camp command a little owner hard-on too. What I'm saying is this: racism is rife within humanity. This isn't meant to excuse it, but it's a fact. And knowing this, we can attack it where it really exists. Not in the lofty imaginings of some deluded sociology class, but in the real world. People of all colors, or, if you must, races show racism, exploiting their fellow human beings through something that could be made to mean weakness. A lower rank in the universal pecking order. It's the law of the jungle, and it's very alive around the world. But mainly in non-white countries, as shown by the examples provided. With one exception, after years, nay decades, of unchecked, unlimited mass immigration from, shall we say, less advanced nations, we're seeing crimes in our countries that would have defied the imagination even a decade ago. FGM. Honor killings. Industrial rape of children. It is a fact that white people abuse children, but it's also a fact that the odd rape gangs we've seen in places like Rotherham, and must assume exist across the country, are almost exclusively a subset of one specific demographic. This isn't racist, it's merely a fact. And anyone who denies it or wants to shut down the debate on the issue of Pakistani rape gangs is part of the problem. Of course, not all members of their community are busy in this appalling industry, but almost all who are of Pakistani and or Muslim origin. This was brushed under the carpet for community relations and to pimp up one's anti-racist credentials. But by and large, especially before modern anti-racism became a thing, WIPIPO have been singularly successful in eradicating real, true-to-form, hands-on Jim Crow-style racism. While other, even developed countries like the Gulf States, have not. If life was as dreadful here as lefties make it out to be, all these people from shithole countries wouldn't want to live here, would they? The mainly left-leaning political establishment of our civil service and the Kangakrasi ought to acknowledge the empirical facts first: rampant racism in non-white countries, millions of people from the undeveloped parts of the world fleeing to the developed world, importation of racism and anti-Semitism by unlimited mass immigration, before a reasoned discourse with them is even possible. What they do instead, is reframing racism in terms of political power. differences in political and societal power are obvious, and anyone refuting them under the assumption that we're all equal is deluding themselves and trying to fool others. But these differences are not down to racism, and neither is it racist to state them. That we are not all equal doesn't mean that some of us are inherently superior to others. But some of us are better at certain things, while others are not. I can't play the flute, but my neighbor can. Or at least she thinks she can, and more's the pity. It's called division of labor, and as a society, you get it either right or wrong. Luckily, there is one universal measurement for societal and personal success. If you do things right and mainly play by the rules, you'll lead a good life. If you don't, well, then I assume that you don't. Capitalism is a powerful incentive. It is also by and large fair, because it means no one lives at the expense of anyone else. Lack of equality of outcome is an effect of human nature. Racism doesn't even come into it. Of course, human nature can be improved through democratically legitimate rule of law, through enlightened legislation. And I would hold that there, mainly Judeo-Christian, mainly Anglo-Saxon, West has done just that over the centuries before Marxism started sawing down the tree on which we're all sitting. There is no racism today in the developed world, the likes of which still exists all over the rest of the world. Assuming, as the left usually does, that the little black and brown people making up about 90% of our children and our refugees on the boats from Africa were so weak and meek they could hardly stand for themselves without the benign intervention of some benign lefty do-gooders sounds like an awfully condescending and arrogant attitude to me. Because evidently, they're not. They're perfectly capable of making their own decisions. And I don't blame them either. If my best chance of getting ahead in life was getting on a dinghy, I'd probably take that chance. But can we please stop pretending that all people from minority backgrounds are little saints who just couldn't do wrong even if they tried? Even if the virtue terrorists of the race baiting and diversity industry would like us to believe this. Their argument is idiotic because it flies in the face of empirical proof. And because the anti-racism of the left smacks an awful lot like old school, racism towards anyone who is not a minority in some way. Copyright Guardian Council 2018.